In Matthew chapter 16, Peter had just proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ. You know the story. I'm not going to reread it right now, but where Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some of them say, well, some of them say Elijah, some of them say this. And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when he had said that, Jesus told him that flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to him, that it was his Father in heaven who had given him that revelation. And Jesus also said this in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. He said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Wow. Wow. I mean, even if Peter didn't understand exactly what Jesus was talking about, and knowing the disciples, he probably didn't, it was pretty heady stuff, wouldn't you agree? Enough for Peter, I think, to get the big head. I mean, what if Jesus looked at you and said that? You'd be like, I must be something else. I mean, that would be our tendency, right, to say that. I must be doing good. Because he just told me that my name's Peter, and on this rock he's going to build his church. And the gates of Hades aren't going to prevail against it. At least we know that Peter was probably feeling pretty important. And then the scripture continues in verse 21 of Matthew 16, and it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." When Jesus starts to talk about all the bad stuff he's about to face, Peter steps in, maybe with this new authority that he's been given, and he says, "God forbid it, Lord. I'm not going to let that happen. This shall never happen to you." And I feel like Peter probably felt pretty good about stepping in to defend his friend and his teacher and his Lord. He thought he'd done a good thing. Don't you think Peter thought he'd done a good thing? I mean, no, this is not going to happen to you. Until Jesus turns and he says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." What a slap in the face. Have you ever had an experience like that? Where you think you've done a good thing and somebody snaps at you and it's like, oh my goodness. I've always felt kind of bad for Peter here because he'd just been given this great honor by Jesus, and then comes this very hard blow. And life's kind of like that. Anytime we start to feel proud about something we've done or said, we can be sure that there's probably some kind of blow around the corner, right? Can I just tell you something? Just kind of on a rabbit trail right here. Jesus will hurt your feelings. He will hurt your feelings. So if you come to church thinking it's a safe haven and that nobody's going to step on your toes, nobody's going to make you feel bad, if you're looking for a church where that's going to happen, you're going to go from one church to the next, because Jesus is going to hurt our feelings, and sometimes he's going to use other people to do it. because, and we'll get to this later, but I'll just tell you right now, his purpose in our lives is for our salvation and our sanctification. It's not so that we always feel good. Jesus called one of his best friends Satan when his best friend was just saying that he wasn't going to let anything bad happen to him. Why? Why did Jesus do that? Well, Jesus explains it in the phrase, "You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's." And y'all, this is huge. This is huge. We need to get this down, because when we set our mind on man's interest instead of God's interest, we are being used of Satan and have become a stumbling block for what God wants to do in other people's lives and in his world. Think about it. What is God's interest here in the life of Jesus? He's all about saving the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to die. Scripture is clear, and Jesus was clear. His purpose, his main purpose in coming to this earth, was to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So here Peter is looking at man's interest. He's not wanting his friend to suffer at all, even temporarily, instead of looking to God's interest in saving the world. So we see why Jesus was so harsh with him, because God's interest in a person's life are always for their salvation or their sanctification, for their good. And anything or anyone that comes in the way of what God wants is a stumbling block in that person's life from the devil. So what's the application to our lives? Well, first of all, what are God's interests in our lives? And I've already said this, it's our salvation. To have an abundant, eternal life. That is God's will for every person on the face of the earth. To have an abundant, eternal life for their salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God wants everyone to be saved. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." So that's one of God's interests in our lives, is our salvation. And the second one is our sanctification. And that means he wants us, his will for us is that we would live a holy life. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 7, it says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this manner that no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." So those are God's interests, our salvation and our sanctification. What are man's interests? What are our interests? Our interests are, we want comfort, we want security, we want respect, we want love, we want honor, we want pleasure, we want our needs met. That's what our interests are. We want to do everything we can not to suffer, right? That's our interest, is to keep ourselves and the ones we love from suffering. And I'm the worst. I don't want anybody that I love to suffer. I don't even want people that I don't like to suffer, really. You know, there's not anybody I don't like. Really, there's not. I don't know why I said that, because I like everybody. I really do. I think. You might bring up somebody and I'll be, oh, no, you know, no. I do. I like everybody. God is not opposed to those things that are our interest. But when we choose them over his interest, we are getting in his way. I think that we can infer from this scripture and others that when we interfere in someone else's life in order to keep them or us from suffering, and it hinders their salvation or sanctification, we are a stumbling block and we are doing the work of the devil. You know, beside this passage in my Bible, years ago I wrote, how many people have I become a stumbling block to because I was more concerned for their desires and comfort than for God's purposes in their life? When someone you love is suffering, you step in and try to get them out of it without thinking about what God may be wanting to do in their lives. Don't we do that? We want to get them out of their suffering. When you decide what action to take concerning another person, do you choose the thing that will hurt the least, even though it may not be according to God's interest in that person's life? Jesus continues that passage in Matthew 16 with verse 24 and through 27. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Beside that passage in my Bible, I wrote, don't be the stumbling block that keeps another person from denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Jesus. Now, I know this is hard for us because we don't want people to suffer, especially if it's something we feel like we have the power to control. But we always have to look at what God wants first. What is he doing? Does he want me to step in and try to fix this? Because a lot of times God will say, no, I don't. You know, this is none of your business. What does he want first? We know that he always wants people to be saved and sanctified first and foremost, not to be kept from feeling bad. Because we all know this, even though we don't like to admit it. It's the suffering in our lives that God uses to strengthen us and to make us like Jesus. Would y'all agree with that? That you have grown more like Christ because of the suffering rather than because of all the good times in your life? Because when things are going well, when things are easy, we're not really, a lot of times, seeking God. Hopefully we're getting to the point to where we seek him all the time and we're always walking with him, but I know for a lot of times throughout our lives, it's the hard things, the suffering, that brings us to him, to seek him, to be made more like him. I remember years ago when this passage first hit me, I was at another church and there was a situation where someone wanted to do something on a regular basis that they obviously were not gifted to do. And the pastor didn't want to hurt their feelings and he continued to allow them to do it. And we understand that because none of us wants to hurt somebody else's feelings. But the question is, do we avoid causing suffering in a person's life and possibly become a stumbling block to what God wants to do with that person? You know, think about it. I don't know where that person is today or what they're doing, but hopefully somewhere along the line, someone had the courage to tell that person the truth, even if it hurt, or maybe not to lie to that person, thinking that they were preventing their suffering. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we lie, we tell the little white lies to people because we want them to feel good, and they continue, we are encouraging them down a path that is not God's will for them at all, just because we don't want them to feel bad. And guys, that's not what God wants. God wants us to be saved, and he wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be made holy, to be like Jesus. And if people around us, because they don't want to hurt our feelings, don't tell us the truth, they are a stumbling block to us. And so we need to learn to tell the truth in love to people and pray. You know, I remember reading years ago, Oswald Chambers talks about letting the Holy Spirit be the lead and the guide in anything that you say to somebody, because we can hurt feelings left or right. But if the Spirit is leading us into what to say, and he's never going to lead us to lie, you know, we can wait on him to do that, but he will lead us because it's his will for a person's sanctification also. Okay, I've explained that enough. I know y'all get that. You ever listen to somebody talk and you're like, okay, go on. Just go on. Get off it, okay? That's where I am right now. Just go on, okay? How much growth do we hinder in another person because we step in and prevent them from suffering? I know some people don't believe this, especially Paul, but I don't like confrontation. Margie will tell you, how many times has Paul come home saying, you're not going to believe what Sandra said to me today? She hurt my feelings today. I mean, I don't even know how many times Paul has gone home and told Margie, I hurt his feelings today. And I tell Paul this all the time. That's really not my nature. I don't know why God has given me this personality with Paul and not very many other people. You know, it's kind of weird. But I prefer just to keep quiet and to let relationships just be superficial, if that's what they want to be, and everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be happy, okay? But over the years, God has taught me through this scripture and others that that's not what he wants. He wants me to tell the truth. He wants me to risk offending someone by telling the truth if it's what he wants to do for their sanctification. And that's what this is all about. We do what's in God's interest, not what's in our interest. And if our interest is we want to keep peace, we're not going to do the hard things. We're not going to say the hard things. But if we're thinking about what God's interest here is in this person's life, we're going to find the courage through the power of the Holy Spirit to say the hard thing. Man's interest, God's interest. Which one am I concerned with? God wants people to be saved and sanctified. And by keeping quiet and acting like it's all good, am I a stumbling block to them? Am I allowing Satan to have his way in their life because I'm making them think it's all good? Do they think God thinks it's all good? I'm not saying that God is all about suffering, but he does allow quite a bit of discomfort in our lives in order to shape us into the people that he wants us to be. And if we are acting as agents against other people's discomfort just so we are comfortable, then we are stumbling blocks to people. You know, we live in a culture that is determined to not offend anyone or make anyone feel bad about their choices and their desires. That's where we find ourselves. We want everyone to feel comfortable and no one to suffer consequences for anything. But could it be that in God's eyes, our interests have become so man-centered instead of God-centered that we care more about what people think and feel than what God thinks and feels? That we are literally a stumbling block, a tool of Satan to prevent the salvation and sanctification of the people that God wants to save and sanctify. don't want to be that stumbling block, and I know you don't either, because God wants everybody to be saved. And so often we are stepping in His way because we want everybody to feel good and to be happy. It's a serious question. So I leave you this morning with just these two questions to ponder. Am I being a stumbling block to someone because I am more concerned for their desires and comfort than for God's purpose in their lives? And am I the stumbling block that keeps another person from denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Jesus just because it's in my interest, because it's what I want and it's easier and more comfortable for me? Let's think about that this week. And you know, as I was reading this story this week, I got to give Peter credit that when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," he didn't pout, he didn't sulk, which is what we would have done, you know? I mean, if Jesus had said that to me, and he said some pretty hard things to me, and I'm growing, hopefully, but, you know, there's a lot of times when if Jesus, anybody said something like that to me, I would have said, you know what, I'm out of here. Because that's me, I'm a quitter. I'm just going to walk away, you know. Used to. But when God says something hard, or when God uses somebody else to say something hard, the response is humility. That's the response we need, to say, you know what, I don't like that. I don't like you right now that you said that to me. But God, what do you want me to hear you saying? What is it that you want to change in me? What is it that you're doing? That's, you know, God's interest, not man's interest. And eventually God will get us to the place where it doesn't really matter what anybody says to us, about us, or whatever, because we want to be like Him so much that that's all that matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You want everyone to be saved, and You want everyone to be sanctified, to be holy. You say, "Be holy, for I am holy." And Lord, sometimes we confess we have stepped in Your way because we don't want people to suffer, and often suffering is what is required for us to be saved and for us to be sanctified, for us to get to the place where we realize, you know what, we don't have it all together, and we have needs, and we need You to move in our lives. And if we are just walking around trying to make sure that everybody's happy, nobody ever feels bad, nobody ever suffers, nobody ever thinks bad about themselves, nobody ever realizes that they're a sinner in need of grace, if nobody ever feels anything like that, if we're just walking around making sure of that, then Lord, we are a stumbling block, and we ask You to forgive us and to show us how to be the people that You want us to be, people whose eyes and minds and hearts are set on first and foremost what Your interests are in this world, what You're about. And we don't have to worry about that, Father. We know because You love every single person. So Your interest in their lives is always going to be ultimately for their good, even if it causes temporary pain. We can trust You with this. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to trust You. Help us to walk with You. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. May we have the mind of Christ. And Lord, may we be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. But Lord, may we speak the truth in love. Lord, convict us of anywhere that we are being a stumbling block to anyone. And set our minds on what You want them to be set on, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.